Welcome back, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST Baltimore Positive, just like it says down in the bottom of the logo. Don Moeller is here. Today's kind of a special occasion because we've done 65 episodes.
I've lost track.
And this is the first one that I'm producing. So J.M. Shapiro from Baltimore Homecoming and many other places. This came to my desk as a straight PR thing. Hey, this thing's coming and you're Baltimore Positive. Maybe you'd want to know about Baltimore Homecoming. So I know we're over in Catonsville. I've already hung out with the chicken and the grits, and Ben Cardin's going to be joining us today. But I really want to get to the bottom of Baltimore Homecoming because I've read about this. I've seen this. This feels like something that is this a civic thing that everybody should know about that's happening.
Yeah, I totally agree, Nestor, and thank you for having me, Don. And this fits perfectly with Baltimore Positive. I mean, it couldn't be right down the center. I'm a fifth-generation Baltimorean, so my great-great-grandparents landed in Locust Point in 1907.
Where'd they come from?
So they came from what is now the Ukraine, but okay. It was Lubav in Poland at the time. And so Baltimore has always been very, very important to me and to our family. And so after the uprising, I spent a lot of time rethinking about where I could make a difference in Baltimore and how I can make a difference in Baltimore. And I ran into a friend of mine, Nate Lowenthal, who was working at the White House at the time, and he was focused on the response to the uprising, the White House's response to the uprising. And he said, JM, you know, why don't we do something called Baltimore Homecoming, modeled off what Detroit has done, called Detroit Homecoming, and let's bring back all the most accomplished Baltimoreans to Baltimore.
Well, let's start with the Detroit part, because I love the seed of all of this is you had an idea. Did it already exist, or did you see that and then give you the idea?
It already existed.
Okay.
And so they had run two or three of these Detroit homecomings. They had done what we were planning to do. They were extremely helpful to us as we rolled out the idea. They said, yeah, use the homecoming
name.
Scale it. This is great. Nate and I went out to Detroit, saw how the homecoming ran, and it took us probably 2 years, maybe 2.5 years of planning before we did the first one in October of last year.
So you only witnessed one or two out there.
So we witnessed one out there. We saw their agendas. We talked to them a fair amount. And we knew what we wanted to do. We knew that so many accomplished people had left Baltimore and accomplished things in Baltimore and, frankly, accomplished things after they'd left that still want to be connected to our city. They still care so deeply about their city. And they say to us all the time, like, we're just trying to figure out the reentry point. And where can we come back and where can we make a difference? So the idea was to take those people and invite them back for 3 days of mobilizing support and highlighting all the people who are doing great things and, frankly, trying to change the brand narrative a little bit.
All right, so that's where Baltimore Positive began. You know, Don, after all of our friend Kevin Kamenetz passed away, which is now a year and a half ago, Don took over the county. I'm watching things happen. I'm watching people not going back to Ravens games. I live downtown. I see people not coming downtown. And I said, we need to change the narrative. I get off airplanes. I am Baltimore, right? Like, I show up on NFL Network. People think of me, everybody in my world, when they think of me as being from Baltimore, in the sports media place. And now when I see them at Super Bowls or at combines or at owners' meetings or when I'm traveling at football games, they're like, oh, Baltimore, you haven't gotten shot yet. It used to be Cal Ripken. It used to be the warehouse. It used to be the aquarium. It used to be crab cakes. We had that narrative. After the wire cannot be our narrative. It shall not be our narrative because we're going to change that narrative. Detroit's an interesting place to start with this because Detroit would be the first place we would all point to and say, there's a place that's getting better. And I think that's all we can ask for is how do we make it better on a day by day? Take it where it is, make it a little bit better. But the Detroit thing, to go and see that, give me the inspiration there because Detroit was the place people were making fun of 10, 15 years ago. They're not anymore.
No, and look, Detroit came out of bankruptcy. So when you're at the very, very, very bottom and coming out of bankruptcy, it's easier to get up higher than that.
Is it?
I definitely think it is.
Hit rock bottom, it's easier to get back up.
You hit rock bottom, I think it's easier to get back up, or it's easy to create the story that you get back up.
People, you know why I think that is? React to this as you look at what happened there. My gut tells me that one of the reasons for that is that when people hit rock bottom, they're more willing to take a risk. They're more willing to look at change. In other words, they've bottomed out, and they say, okay, let's try something because they want something different.
I mean, look, I think Detroit's done an unbelievable job. I mean, when you go visit Detroit, it is exciting to see the new arena, to see what they've done downtown, to see what Dan Gilbert's done, to see all the innovation, to see the jobs. And so,
but there's a model for us.
They've created the narrative, and it felt to Nate and I like we sort of deserve some of that narrative. Like, we are doing so many good things in Baltimore. And that's not to say that our city does not have problems, because we admit that there are problems that need to be solved, from crime to education to, there's a list of items. But at the same time, we felt like there's a list of great people doing great things, and we want to highlight that. And we want those people to come back who are living in other places, see that, and then go to their communities. And so that's what we're doing.
That's why you're here. I mean, that's exactly what Don and I sort of dreamed up 9 months ago, and 60 episodes later, here you come. So perfect for me. It's my birthday week, right? So it's October 16th through the 18th. It's going on downtown. So tell everybody who's coming in, how this works, and then these are people who are from Baltimore originally coming back. You're showing them what Baltimore is and can be, telling them to go away for a year, come back again next year, and we're going to measure things and we're going to make things better.
Right, and so the way to think about it is these people are going to come back. First off, what we do is we go and recruit co-chairs, right? And so this year we have Duff Goldman. Senator Goldman, you eat his cake. He's ace of cakes. He's making an unbelievable cake for us. I can't wait for everybody to see it. Senator Barb Mikulski. I mean, who's more Baltimore than Senator Mikulski? Lance Reddick. You mentioned The Wire.
Okay.
So he was on The Wire. If you'll hear him talk, I mean, the actors from The Wire have actually done a ton of good for Baltimore and in Baltimore post Wire. Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Sure. Overly High School graduate.
Overly High School and just an unbelievable speaker, right, and passionate about Baltimore. He's going to be speaking at a celebration we have
Baltimore
on Thursday
County
night.
Educated. Ever say.
There
that's,
you
that's
go.
Me.
Melanie Whalen, CEO of SoulCycle. Certainly a recognizable brand. And Angel McCutcheon, who's a 2-time Olympic gold medalist basketball player. Fantastic person. So those are the co-chairs. And then what we do is we go out and say, okay, we want people to come back. And we have 100, we'll have 125 people come back. And we will basically start out with a real estate program. So something new this year is we said one of the goals we have is to drive investment into the city. And that can be investment of time or investment of resource or investment in any way you want to define that. But we've been hearing from our alumni, they want to invest dollars into the city. And so we're going to have on Wednesday from 11 to 2 a real estate program. And we're going to highlight 8 or 10 real estate projects that are happening in Baltimore City, and our alumni are going to get to see those and see, you know, do those resonate with them? And I think seeing those helps people understand what's actually happening in the city.
Is the goal of that, JM, to hopefully have them become investors in these projects?
The goal of that is really to sort of have them understand neighborhoods better that have positive things happening, and then also, can they become investors? Can they give help in some way, shape, or form? And so, yes, that is the goal of that. That's a new program for us, Brown Advisory. It's at Brown Advisory. They're sponsoring it, so we're excited to see how that rolls out. And remember, look, last year was our first year.
This is new.
So we did it last year. This is new.
This is why I haven't heard about it.
We're a startup. We are an admitted startup, and it's hard to be a startup. It's a couple people on the team. We've got an unbelievably huge host committee, and we've got a great board. But this is still startup. So we're 11 months from our first homecoming.
Well, I'm fascinated by the real estate component. That's your thing. For folks who don't know, you are Continental Realty. Tell us a little bit so folks can get a sense of your background. Tell us a little bit about Continental Realty and how long it's believed in Baltimore.
So our company was started by my father and grandfather in 1960. We were buying row houses one at a time and selling the cabinets to buy the next one. We bought our first apartment community in Brooklyn, Maryland, $3,000 a unit. That's how much we paid per door, and the rents were $59, including utilities.
In 1960.
Including utilities. Before that, frankly, we were in the rag business. We call it the Smata business. We own the Pepsi Cola plant, which is still on 83, which is about to be redeveloped. Bought it in, I think, the 20s for $50,000. Literally, the whole building. And so we've just been in the real estate business, and now we have probably 10,000 apartments and 4 million square feet from Maryland all the way down to Florida, so mid-Atlantic and Southeast. We have 300 team members who are working hard every day to support the company and support us and support our investors. And we also care deeply about Baltimore, and it's in our culture. our corporate culture to care and to give back.
Well, I must say, we've been sitting here talking about the 1979 World Series and the 83 World Series. So, yeah, I mean, we go back a little ways. But I would say there are people here who don't see the city as valuable. You know, people out in the counties that say, I'm not coming back. We've had the squeegee. All the issues that keep people out of the city, it has been our goal to say to people all around the region, the city has to thrive. When the city thrives, everything thrives. And that is the part of the togetherness that I think you're trying to bring into this thing. When people get off planes and you say Baltimore, there's a connotation that every one of us, it's incumbent upon us to change that narrative.
And so what happened last year is we survey everybody because it's about data to us and how are we doing. And we're tracking that. We surveyed all of the people came. 100% of them said they're more likely to give back to Baltimore, to do something for Baltimore, and feel more positively about Baltimore, just like this show.
Because they see hope.
Because they see what's really happening, right? So we have something called the Homecoming Heroes. And the idea of the Homecoming Heroes was, who's making a difference in Baltimore that not enough people are hearing about? Right, and so,
and when you read about these people,
Van Brooks is one of them.
I mean,
saw Van on there. Van's one of my favorite people. I see Van around town. I remember when Van was injured as a football player. And you talk about someone that has, you know, gone above and beyond. I have Van on all the time. Van's an inspiration that started Baltimore Positive to do the stuff that I'm doing. So I'm inspired by the people. This is what they're meant to do. They're meant to inspire more of us.
And our job at Homecoming is to highlight those people so that they get more people helping.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you and I chatted before we came on. I told Nestor, I said, wow, as part of this, one of the individuals that got involved in Homecoming made a grant of $6 million to an organization called Thread. And I said to, and you immediately said, Sarah is amazing. We've had Sarah Heminger on. People continue to react to her. She talks about changing the social fabric of the city, that really bringing people together and really making all these connections. And this seems to me to be what you're highlighting as well here.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring people together. We're doing something new again this year called the Baltimore Exchange. So Brandon Etheridge, who's the general counsel of the Baltimore Ravens, right, and is on our board, developed this Baltimore Exchange where we are going to bring in other people who are outside of sort of the Homecoming and bring them in for lunch and let them interact with the people who come from the outside. So just as you said, make connections. It's similar to what Sarah said and has done throughout her career. And I would say, by the way, so that $6 million donation was made by John and Joanna Jacobson. Hugely important, hugely beneficial to Thread. We were the placeholder. So we take really no credit for sort of making that happen because really Sarah had a long relationship with them. But they decided to make the announcement here, right? So they could send a signal to people who were coming from out of town. Look, we're from, John and Joanna are from Boston. He's actually one of our speakers this year. At the end, he's coming to speak, and he's going to be interviewed by Heather Crosby. So Heather is Tony Deering's daughter, right? And Tony was hugely influential in Baltimore and hugely cared about the city. And so that is the idea of what we're trying to do.
Well, what do you hear, JM? I think it's interesting. I mean, people know, you know, the Josh Charles, and they know Julie Bowen on Modern Family. They know Duff as the Ace of Cakes.
Michael Phelps,
the Ed Norton, the Pantra. What do you hear from these folks when you get to talk to them in terms of their feelings towards Baltimore?
I mean, they love Baltimore. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, and it's hugely gratifying that some, like Barry Levinson, like he's coming and speaking on Wednesday night. The amount of...
It's an all-star team.
Barry's
made one or two films,
but
right?
But by the way, it's not an all-star arm twisting. Like, we make these phone calls to these people.
To come in,
they take our phone calls and they say, I want to help. I love Baltimore. I will be there. It's not, they jump. And the ones who can't make
it. It makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up.
This
you
is
say
all
that.
You.
Pretty
the
exciting.
Ones who can't make
that's
it
awesome.
Are like, I can't make it, but can you fit me in next year? I need to be there, you know? And so to me, it was great because the kickoff last year was Cal Ripken. And Cal, to me, is so Baltimore. It really was great to hear him talk to our group. This year, we've got Brooks Robinson and John Sherholtz interviewed by Ron Shapiro.
Brooks Robinson, John Sherholtz, and Ron Shapiro. Yeah, that might work.
That one works.
I mean, it's
well,
when
we're all ambassadors to Baltimore. I mean, everywhere I go. I was in Miami 3 weeks ago at a football game wearing Ravens stuff. I was in Kansas City last week, and there weren't a lot of Ravens fans. you wear purple. You get on the They know you're from Baltimore. They're, hey, where are you from? I'm from Glen Burnie. I'm from Hampstead. I'm from Towson. Where'd you go? I went to Calvert Hall. I went to. That's where the conversation. That is the thread. That's the thread, between and, all of us.
And
literally.
And Nestor and I were talking last week. I went to Newport, Rhode Island for a couple of days, and I said you really get a sense of the regional feel for Baltimore, because when you run into people in another state, in another city, and they say, where are you from? I don't say, I love Catonsville. I've never lived anywhere but I don't say, I'm from Catonsville. I say, I'm from Baltimore. And then you go and give the elevator speech, because they do. They give you that look, Baltimore. And then you go on to tell them what a great city it is. And the cultural institute. We talk JM. It's amazing. The cultural institutions, the sports teams, the healthcare system. I mean,
the history, the location. We have everything going for us here.
We've got it all. We've got it all. The port, we've got it all. So the fact that you're bringing these people together to tell its story is really powerful. I know we've got to take a break.
Yeah, I want to come back and learn more. I want to go through all of everything you're doing here and all, and what gets left behind and what. For the audience out there, what can they do? How can they be a part of it? If they're not Barry Levinson and they're not flying back, or if they know someone else who's rich, famous, influential, educational, someplace maybe that slipped through the cracks who's from Baltimore that maybe we don't know about. So James Shapiro is our guest. We're doing Baltimore Positive and Baltimore Homecoming. That's kind of a nice, right?
And our folks that are watching on Facebook, they're saying, hey, I've seen you guys before. Who are these people? Right, this is not Mick and Aretha.
A little primer here. State Fair has decided to go millennial. You know, that's all I can say. I mean it was John Paul
test.
And Ringo and Elvis here a couple weeks ago.
Aretha.
It's Flea, Eddie Vedder, Courtney Love. We've got, let's see, Gwen Stefani, Snoop, Biggie Smalls, Madonna. I don't know what Madonna's doing in here. She's different.
Over here, Nestor.
That's Chris Cornell.
Okay,
yep,
so.
Yep, and that's Slash from Guns N' Roses.
All right, so all of you, whatever generation you're in, come in, take the test, State Fair, all new pictures.
The shrimp and grits taste the same. There's no problem.
And your chicken and waffles
too.
We'll be right back with J.M. Shapiro.
We are WNST.net, AM 1570, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.